from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Well, you hear that? You know that is Earth, Wind, and Fire, of course. A little Earth, Wind, and Fire is always good for your soul. We try and give you a little soul food, get you started on this Thursday morning. But City Limits, whenever we start with that song, it also means what?
It's just you today.
It's just me today. I kind of knew that we would be here. Not kind of knew, but I mean, yesterday Joe was sick, right? He was hacking and wheezing and in between breaks complaining that he had a cold and all the other good stuff. And so this morning, let's just say we all got thrown for a loop when Joe had to call off sick. And so that means City Limits, the heavy lifting for this show, but it's on me and it's on you.
That's right. We can bear the responsibility and wish Joe all the best. Hope he's okay.
And we hope he does. I guess he's got to go get his doctor.
Yes, he was seeing the doctor. He just texted me not too long ago. He said that he is not feeling very well.
Well,
he needs something to cheer him up.
That's not good at all. Obviously, the Pirates did not cheer people up last night.
No.
You know, this is the thing about 162 games, City Limits. When we go back, you point to certain games that, you know, you feel like the Pirates stole. Maybe even the two days prior to last night.
Yeah,
and then it evens it out when you give up four hits. Four hits. You have not, what, they had 9 or 10 hits or whatever they had themselves. And you lose. And you lose because you make four errors. The most egregious error, of course, the one that everyone's talking about, was O'Neal Cruz, who decided he was going to try and play left field along with playing shortstop. And that really is where the game probably was lost. It's the kind of game that you say, well, hey, you know, when you're fighting for a playoff spot, you can't afford to lose those kind of games. But again, I think the beauty of baseball in 162 games is your record is what it should be at the end of the season. You know, football, you have 2 or 3 games where breaks go your way or don't or whatever. That can have a huge impact. But 162 games, you probably are what your record says you are. You know?
Yeah.
Because there are some games where, I mean, look, the night before, the Astros kicked the ball all over the field, you know, and it's just a part of it. So that being said, it's a bad loss at a bad time. There's no sugarcoating, really, if you think about it. There's just no sugarcoating the loss from the standpoint of if you just make the plays you're supposed to make, you win the game.
Well, and especially because, well, here we go again. St. Louis wins. The Padres win again. The Mets lost. But everybody in front of you continues to win. And Milwaukee lost. So you had a chance to gain another game on the Brewers. You're five games back in the divisional race. And it's just frustrating and unfortunate. But, yeah, I do think there are... Maybe to an extent, the games do cancel each other out. There, it does seem like for the Pirates, it's been more so these type of losses that has held them back this year than the type of wins that we see on Monday that propel them into more of a positive direction. So that's, I think, the more frustrating thing about it. Did you hear Joe Block's call of the O'Neill Cruz error?
No, do we have it?
If you thought that you and I were frustrated about the error, this is what Joe Block had to say.
Oh, and if you take that 105-mile-an-hour ball off of stand.
A swing and a fly ball down the long run for Reynolds. Cruz goes back on it, and he gets in Reynolds' way, and that's going to allow a run to score. What's Cruz doing? That's not his ball. Then he throws it away. What is he doing?
There are some
what's he doing, Paul?
Yeah, what is he doing? Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, no.
That's it. That's become Neil Walker's signature phrase.
There's two other plays in Pirate history that I can think of, recent Pirate history, that rival the O'Neill Cruz debacle last night. Obviously, Will Craig. Yes.
It's not as bad as the Will Craig play. That stands
play,
on its own.
It's close. And then that, oh, no, the Grandal, yeah. The Grandal from his knee, soft tossing the ball back while somebody's stealing home.
If you had to rank the three, I think it would be number one, Will Craig.
Craig.
Number two. Well, the problem is Cruz committed two errors on that play.
Yes.
First, the ball drops in. Then he has another throwing error. And then Houston responds with a double next batter.
Right.
And it cuts it to a one-run game where the two-run home run that was given up by Holderman would have just made it a tie game, whatever. Maybe not even that. I mean, Cruz catches the ball. You're walking off the field with a sweep. And that's the ultimate difference when you can be four games over instead of two games over where you're, you know, staring down the barrel of San Diego, Arizona still. I mean, you still are.
Right.
But the margin is so razor thin right now when those teams continue to win ball games. And I get that Arizona and San Diego are on the schedule. San Diego twice in the next 2-3 weeks. But, man, that was a golden opportunity that was squandered.
And all of a sudden, to me, you know, this is, you know, we had some arguments last week when they played they win 2 out of 3 against the Cardinals, right?
Yeah.
And people acted like it was the biggest series, the greatest series of the season and how important. And yeah, every game's important. But guess what? They won 2 of 3 from the Cardinals, and a week later, they're a game behind the Cardinals. So this thing where every series is the biggest series they've ever played, they've got to win every game they can win, you know, and they've got to continue to try and win series and do that. But you know what? They sweep. Who do they play next? Arizona? They say they sweep Arizona.
That would be huge.
And then they lose to the Padres, right? And then they lose the next series. Well, you're right back where you started.
Yeah, you're in the same spot.
So my point is, every game is big, and that's what I love about the Pirates right now. Every game is important. Every single one. And every game, listen, we come in here, and I've said this a few times, in pretty much every year that I can remember that I've worked at this station, which is I got here as a part timer maybe a month and a half, 2 months after it started, right? So I don't know, what's that, 12 years, however many long years we've been on the air.
2010.
This is in July, this week, right now, we would start the show talking about, I don't know, whatever the hell happened at Steeler Camp.
Second day of padded practice, yeah.
But instead we start every day talking about the Pirate game from the night before. Because they are in a playoff chase, and it's meaningful baseball.
Yeah, it's a good thing that we're as frustrated as
Absolutely.
We are, because we're frustrated for the right reasons.
Absolutely.
Not because this team is 20 games under 500 and can't get out of their own way.
Right. It's just what it is. And I think that's the most important thing to me, is that we are talking about it and we're upset about it for a reason. because every one of these games is meaningful and every one of these games counts. You know, that's the key with this whole thing. Every day we've got something that we're looking for out of the Pirates. So, and by the way, a little footnote, I thought, at least, is that Brian De La Cruz got two hits last night and scored a run. So that is something to be excited about, really, if you think about it. It's something to be excited about is that, hey, here's a guy that comes in and he's just, you know, swinging the bat. If he's able to hit.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hit and be a consistent hitter, then he will have done what he's told.
Yeah, he had some pretty good at-bats. I mean, kind of struggled with the curveball. It was kind of evident
right
whenever Framber Valdez was throwing that. But, I mean, he was able to get on base for the first run of the game for when Joey Bart hit another blast. What's up with the Pirates and hitting absolute tank shots to the train? I mean, did you see Threat's three home runs?
Right.
That have been absolutely mashed. Right. Two by Taylor, one by Bart that would have been out of the actual stadium.
It's pretty amazing that, but, you know, Michael White Taylor's at-bats now are becoming far more interesting than they were.
They're not automatic outs at this point.
So, anyway.
We got the Noah Constrictor as well from Houston who was there last night.
Right. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing to me when it comes to everything else. Let's talk to Noah right now. Hi, Noah.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Good. Good. You're not necessarily, last night you didn't actually like run out to left field to try and play someone else's position, did you?
No, I know that was in the air though, but I didn't catch that bug, fortunately.
I mean, you know, I don't even know where to begin with that whole thing. How does that happen?
The explanation that O'Neill provided us with, and I think I'll go with the explanation that we both got from both Shelton and O'Neill. Shelton just kind of said O'Neill had been struggling this series, and when a younger player will struggle, sometimes they try to do too much. And I think that is a very accurate way to summarize how O'Neill Cruz played defense yesterday. I felt like he was doing way too much and trying a little too hard, and he got in his own way. And on that specific play, I asked him, I said, you know, could you hear Reynolds calling for the ball? And he said, I could originally, but as they got closer to the foul line, that's where you hear the fans a little bit more. And their communication kind of got lost in the comes from the stands, which is still inexcusable. I mean, you're a big league player. That's a play that shortstops and left fielders have to communicate to make 100 times out of 100. That's a routine play. But these are just things that are going to come with O'Neill Cruz right now at this point in his career. You're going to get the good, which we've seen. I mean, he's been their second best hitter this year. He's second on the team in home runs. He's come up in many clutch moments at the plate. And then you're going to get the bad. You're going to get series like this series in Houston, where aside from his one game-tying hit Monday night, he was pretty bad this whole three-game set in Houston.
Yeah. I think that is it time, Noah? Is there a time in the offseason where they need to talk about a different position for O'Neill Cruz?
I don't think they would be above that idea. I know that they tried to move him to the outfield previously, and I don't think it went well. I don't think that he fully embraced it. And I don't think like the Pirates were completely set on the idea of him doing it. But now that, A, they're in a different position as an organization, you know, this is a team that's actually competitive now and should be competitive for the next couple of years, at the very least. And we've seen what this guy at shortstop looks like now, where beforehand, when they were trying to move him to the outfield as a minor leaguer, we didn't know what shortstop O'Neill Cruz in the major leagues would look like. So I think at the very least, they'll revisit the idea in the offseason. I don't know how far it will go. But when you look around, I mean, they've got a lot of middle infielders. They've got actually some decent defenders, and especially with some of the guys they just acquired, like Kiner Falefa. I mean, they've got good defenders. So I think it could make sense. I wouldn't, you know, bank on it to be a sure thing, but I think it's something they will definitely look into.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's always been questions because of his size and his height and everything else. Can he actually really legitimately play shortstop? And, of course, when you see him scoop the ball and throw a 110-mile-an-hour laser beam across the infield, or you see him stride and get to a ball that most guys probably wouldn't, you say, wow, I mean, yeah, he can play. He's, you know, he should play there. But
yeah.
But then he makes a lot of other plays that you say maybe he shouldn't play there.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the athleticism, I feel like, is too superior for him to be playing first base, like some people have suggested. Like, I feel like that would be a total waste. But there's a spot somewhere for him in the field. Is it shortstop? I don't know. I mean, right now it is. He's their starting shortstop for the rest of the year. But in the offseason, like, I mean, that arm would look pretty good in right field, would it not? So I there's something there to it. It's just getting him to buy into that. And I'm not suggesting that today's version of O'Neill Cruz would be opposed to it or throw a fit about it. I'm just saying that, I mean, that's a big change to make in the middle of someone's career. And B, it's, do the Pirates want to do this? They have to look around and say, I mean, they just acquired a right fielder that's going to probably be the right fielder for the next three seasons. So where do you play him? Center field? Maybe. I don't know. But part of that would make sense.
Yeah, no question about it. And I said, you know, before you got on, though, I was talking with City Limits about it, and I said basically, you know what, the thing about baseball is 162 games, you know, they sort of even themselves out. So, you know, for lack of a better way of saying it, the baseball gods even things out. You know, we can point to a number of games where it felt like the Pirates stole a game.
Yes.
And then you point to games like last night where they gave one away, which is why I always say 162 games that does not lie.
It doesn't. I mean, just look at this road stand. I mean, there were two games they absolutely stole, this road stand. The final game in Arizona and then their comeback win on Monday. Those are games that they probably should have lost. And then you have a game like yesterday where they definitely should have won. I mean, they allowed three unearned runs and a 5-4 loss. So that's baseball for you, though. There's plenty of other series that you can highlight. Now, if we're going to play that game, I still think there are probably more games this season that the Pirates should have won rather than wins that they should have lost. But nonetheless, like you said, I mean, a 162-game sample size, that tells the truth. There is no fabrication there.
Right. That's the biggest thing. I see Brian De La Cruz with two hits last night. I know that makes the bosses happy because they just made a trade for him. You know, what do you think he brings to the table for the Pirates?
He brings a cleanup hitter. That's what this team's been missing. You know, when Nick Gonzalez has had a really good year, but he should not be batting cleanup for a team in the playoff hunt. He's just not that type of power bat that you need in the middle of your order. So bringing him in along with IKF, you bring in two bats that really even out the rest of your lineup. And so with De La Cruz having a career year, he's one home run shy of tying his career high right now. That's the guy that you want to be batting fourth, and he brings some pop. Now, this is a guy, he's not going to go 2-for-4 every game. This isn't a Tony Gwynn-type hitter. He's going to have a lot of games where he strikes out a lot, or, you know, he's going to have some series where he goes, you know, 1-for-12. But, like a traditional power hitter, there's going to be other series. There's going to be weeks where the guy's just painting the outfield seats with baseballs. So that's the type of player they kind of needed. I mean, obviously, you'd take a more consistently productive hitter than that. But for his price and his, you know, the years remaining on his contract, to get a guy that's going to be a consistent 20 to 30 home run hitter for a corner outfield spot, you'll take that. So I think that Pirate fans are going to like this guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing. I think he, and the other part of it is no, I feel like when you put him in right and you have Reynolds in left, I mean, I'm okay with him rolling with Michael A. Taylor, especially since he swung the bat a lot better. If he hits, you know, a little better than he has for the rest of the way, I mean, I think that gives him a pretty good outfielder and a pretty good outfield.
Yes, I agree. Eventually, I think they'll move Kiner Falefa to center field whenever Gonzalez gets back. But for the short term, yeah, I really mean with Taylor, the defense is so good that the thing was if he could just be an average bat or even slightly below average,
right?
That's a really good center fielder. They just haven't gotten that from him. But if this series indicates any type of turnaround for him, and if he can hit, you know, 10 home runs in the second half, that is more than ideal for this team with the defense that he provides.
There's no question. You brought up Kiner Falefa. Where do you feel like he's going to eventually fit in with the Pirates?
I think this is a guy that's maybe not going to have one definitive spot. He's a guy that'll probably start 5 games a week, and it'll probably be at 4 different positions. If I had to say a main spot for him, it'd be second base right now. But this is a guy who can play above average defense at every spot on the field. So you'll see him give Ke'Bryan a couple days off at third base. You'll see him start at short when O'Neill needs a day off. You could see him at any of the 3 outfield positions. And like I said, second base makes sense with Nick Gonzalez out right now. So he's kind of similar, to make a Pittsburgh comparison, kind of like Josh Harrison in that last time that this team was competitive, where you'd see Harrison at third one day, you'd see Harrison at second one day, you'd see him in left field occasionally or right field. Like, that's this type of player, and he's a better defender. So this is a very valuable player where he's going to provide you above average defense, and he's hitting .292. So he's got a decent bat on him as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's always, you know, the key. Is I think that he's a guy that is going to help them get better offensively, and that's really what the goal of the trade deadline was. Is there any scenario where he becomes the second baseman if Nick Gonzalez doesn't turn, you know, start hitting a little better than he has?
I mean, maybe. I think Nick Gonzalez was good enough at second base where he deserves for that to be his position once he returns. And because IKF is so versatile defensively, you can find another spot for him. But, if Gonzalez doesn't perform, then sure, that second base will, most of those second base reps could go to Kiner Falefa. So it'll be interesting because I feel like Shelton is a guy who he's even vocalized this. He really, really likes defensive versatility. He likes being able to mix and match lineups. And having that guy that he can put any spot in the batting order, any spot in the field, that's very valuable to him.
Right. There's no question. Pitching-wise, do we have any idea when Jared Jones is back?
I would say August 1st. I'd give him a couple more weeks. So he just threw a second bullpen here in Houston. He's going to return home with the team, and he'll throw a simulated batting practice sometime this weekend at PNC Park. After that, they'll determine if he needs to throw another one or if that's good enough for him to begin a rehab assignment. And then the rehab assignment, I think because he's missed so much time, he'll probably throw twice in the minor leagues, and then he'll be good to go. So I think Jared is right on the same track that we all – or that they said he'd be on, that mid-August was their target date, and he'll be back right in time for that.
I would say that if they get him back, you know, I think that now all of a sudden if they can but they need to be within a game or two, right? I mean, they've got to stay at least where they're at. They can't really give up much more ground or else him coming back might not be relevant.
No, but I mean, you look at their next games on the schedule, how they open August. I mean, if they keep winning series, they're going to clock even closer into this thing. Because they've got three this weekend against Arizona. Then they play three more at home against San Diego. They go on the road for six games where they got the Dodgers for three and then three more against the Padres. So nine of your next 12 games are against opponents that are in the wild card mix. There are six teams fighting for these three wild card spots, and the Pirates are playing two of them for nine of their next 12 games. So if they can keep winning series, their position's going to be even more favorable.
Yeah. Well, again, I think that's the key. You've got to keep winning series and just trying to win as many games as you possibly can. Like I said, last week everybody was ready to crown them because they took two or three from the Cardinals. Well, as we wake up today, I look at the standings. They're a game behind the Cardinals. So yeah. You got to keep winning. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's really what it comes down to. Well, Noah, I appreciate you jumping on. I know you got to catch a flight, and I will probably see you at the ballpark this weekend.
All right, I'll see you there, Paul.
All right, buddy. That's Noah House. Does a great job covering it for the Pirates for the Post Gazette, and so there's that. I mean, I don't know, Austin. I feel like the Jared Jones situation. The longer it lingers, man, the more it starts to hurt them.
Yeah, I heard originally that he would probably have to make about four rehab appearances before they would feel comfortable bringing him up. Now, is that going to be in, you know, pitch one day and then another 5 days? Is it going to be just bullpens included? So the fact that he is probably not going to come back until the end of August, I would think. Maybe, probably not the middle, probably the latter portion of August. I mean, it's concerning. The fact that he is not back yet. It's been, what, a month plus?
Yeah.
He was out before the All-Star break. So, yeah, I mean, obviously that's a guy that you need to have back. But pitching still, I don't think is their problem.
Well, it isn't. But my point is, boy, you like to have your whole arsenal.
Bro, oh, no doubt about it.
Especially when you're chasing and you're, you know, going to be in a dogfight the rest of the way. Be nice to have all of your best guys. We've got Brian Bacco from training camp, right, coming up. All right, we're going to do that next. Oh, all right, we're going to do that next. It's 93.7 The Fan.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.